Thank you very much. Awesome. Why don't we actually stay standing? I want to pray, not because God isn't here, because God is here. But I just want to just really dedicate this moment right now, this opportunity that we have. So why don't you pray with me? God, I want to thank you that you are infinitely good. Lord, I want to thank you that as it says over and over and over again in your word, that your love endures forever. God, I want to thank you that as it says over again in your word, that your faithfulness continues to all generations, God. Lord, I want to thank you so much that all through this weekend, God, you've been speaking to us. You've been so faithful in that, Lord. But I thank you that you are still continuing to speak to us. And God, I want to dedicate this moment. Lord, let them not just be my words, God, but let it be your word that goes out, Lord. Because we know, God, as your word goes out, as it says in Isaiah 55, it will not return void. And God, I'm excited about what you're doing in our hearts at this conference. Lord, I'm excited about what that will mean for, Lord, our communities, our families, Lord, our churches, and our nation because of that. You are so good. Amen. Have a seat. So yes, like Bruce said, congratulations. You guys are absolutely on point, back on time. Good to see Pastor Trish down the back. Spider out. Also, a huge honor, actually, to have Pastor Sanjay and Nathaniel here as well. Thank you for coming along. Let's give these guys a hand. And I just want to begin by just honoring our senior pastors, and you know, especially, you know, Pastor Julia, you here. It's actually, I count this as a massive privilege and an honor to be given an opportunity to speak this afternoon. I mean, we've already heard it. We've had the amazing kind of ministering and the word from Tim Hall, from Cindy, from Pastor Don, Pastor Jeremy all the way from Singapore. And you know, this session could have been one of them again. And so I don't take this lightly, and I want to thank you, especially because this could have been your session right now. And I count this as an absolute privilege to be able to share this afternoon. And what's really interesting is, so almost a couple of months ago, I was in the car, I was driving home, and I was seeking God on what to speak on today. In advance, I knew I had this opportunity, and I was seeking God, and I felt God give me two very, very strong points. And what's been awesome is literally been sitting there in that seat over there, and in every session, God speaking those points. So I've, you know, you could be sitting there going, oh no, please don't share the verse I've got prepared. Oh no, please don't share the verse I've got prepared. But what I believe that God wants to do in this session is basically, you know how it says that his promises, all his promises are yes and amen. I believe that what God's been doing is he's been saying is yes. And I believe that this sermon is to be an amen to what God's been saying. So, I was in my car, I'm seeking God, obviously with my eyes open because I'm driving, but I'm seeking God, and this one phrase came in my head, and it's this: City my way, Atti Gamt Wydink. City my way, Atti Gamt Wydink. No, it's not Swahili, it's not speaking in tongues. No, it's not something that Tim Hall would say. City my way, Atti Gamt Wydink. And to give you a little bit of context to that, we're going to rewind some of the years to 11-year-old Jesse, okay? So a little bit of time to 11-year-old Jesse, probably the same height, just less facial hair and a little less grays, and definitely no wife and two kids. But there's 11-year-old Jesse. And 11-year-old Jesse is at Easter camp, because that's where you go when you're a pastor's kid on Easter weekend. Easter camp. And at Easter camp, there's a way that you can get Easter eggs, win points for your team, and get the glory, okay? Easter eggs, points for your team, and win the glory, which is all that matters for a super competitive 11-year-old. And so we could earn Easter eggs, earn points, get the glory of being the top team through memorizing scripture, all right? City my way, Atty Gamt Wydink. Call to me and I will answer you and tell you great and mighty things which you do not know. City my way, Atty Gamt Wydink. Just taking the first letter of every word is how I did it. Call to me and I'll answer you and tell you great and mighty things which you do not know. Jeremiah 33, verse 3. And so this afternoon, what I want to do is I want to just unpack that scripture for a little bit, because I believe that God wants to do something in taking us from the head knowledge up here into the heart knowledge here, which when we experience it and where we know it. And then I want to tell you something significant that I believe God is wanting to talk to us about today in relation to this passage. So, city my way, Atty Gamt Wydink, call to me and I will answer you and tell you great and mighty things which you do not know. So, if we look at the first part, call to me and I will answer you. You know what's really interesting? When you dive into the Hebrew, call means to call, and answer means to answer. Basically, it says exactly what it is on the tin. Call to me, that's God calling, talking to Jeremiah, and I will answer you. As I said, we need to get it out of our head knowledge into our heart knowledge. God promises that if we call to him, he will answer. There's no tricky elements in there. There's no but. There's no however. Call to me and I will answer you. How incredible is that? And then the best part, there's an and. And I love that, because in scripture often you find buts and howevers. And especially if God's saying something really good, like call to me and I'll answer you, you don't want to see the but. You definitely don't want to see the however. You wouldn't mind a therefore, but God says and. Call to me and I will answer you and tell you great and mighty things which you do not know. Now, if we jump into the second part, this is where the Hebrew language adds so much more color. So it's pretty much saying what it says on the tin in the beginning. Call to me and I'll answer you. In the second part, I'll tell you great. Great means bigger. It means exceedingly. I love that word exceedingly, because it reminds me that God is the God of the overflow. You know, my cup overflows, that he does exceedingly abundantly more than we could ever hope, dream, fathom. That is who God is. Great, bigger, exceedingly marvelous, that would cause wonder, that would be extraordinary. That's what great means. And mighty. See, the Hebrew for mighty means that it's fortified, it's inaccessible, it's hidden, it's held captive. Think fortified like a big wall enclosing something that you can't get to. So these things go beyond what we can fathom. They exceed it. They've previously been hidden, fortified from you, unable to access. And God says, call to me and I will answer you and tell you these great and mighty things which you do not know. How good is God? How good is God, amen? That he would not only answer you, when you call, but he would, in essence, blow your mind. I mean, that's how I translate it. If I was writing the JKV, the Jesse Kelly version, it would be, call to me and I'll answer you and blow your mind. Come on. So, what gets in the way? Because, you know, we've come along, we've been hearing God, God is speaking. It's easy at a conference. So what gets in the way when we leave and we're at home and we're in the work week and the hectic life and the kids who are unfortunately sick and then you've got to do X, Y, and Z? What gets in the way? And I believe that the first thing that gets in the way is us. And I was just, you know, in the lead up to conference, I was just thinking about Elijah. And you see, Elijah is an absolute hero of mine. I mean, he's basically the boss prophet. He's seen things like God feed him by ravens. I mean, like, imagine ravens coming and bringing you food. He said that it wasn't going to rain, and it didn't rain. And then the ultimate thing, he set a little contest with the prophets of Baal to prove who the real God was up on Mount Carmel. Basically, the real God is the God that answers by sending fire from heaven to burn the sacrifice. I can't believe that the prophets of Baal said, let's go. They set up their altar. He set up theirs. He just sat around. Fire didn't come from heaven. Didn't matter how hard they prayed. They began to cut themselves. They did things thinking they could appease their God and bring fire. It didn't come. And then Elijah pours water over his sacrifice, making this whole thing a little bit harder. Fire comes from heaven, burns, engulfs. All the water disappears. The altar's singed and gone. The sacrifice is gone. He was like the boss prophet, right? But what happens next? He prays. Yes, that's right. Rain comes. So again, the rain is obeying his word, and then he gets scared. The Queen Jezebel is pretty unhappy because she's the reason why the country's fallen into idolatry and worshiping Baal, and she says, I'm going to kill you. And so he gets scared and he runs. I can't believe it. He's just seen fire come from heaven and he's running. And what happens is he runs. 40 days and 40 nights, it says, he runs and he finds himself at Mount Horeb. Now, a little bit of context, Mount Horeb is where Moses encountered the burning bush. It's the first time where they got the Ten Commandments, you know, the word from God for a nation. And he runs there, and then we find ourselves in this moment in 1 Kings 19, and this has been the verse around our conference, and it says in verse 11, the Lord said, go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by. Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. And then it said that the voice of the Lord came to him. And my challenge is, you know, it can be really easy at a conference to feel like you're on the top of a mountain. Fire coming from heaven and God just absolutely displaying his power. And then we can go into everyday life and just feel like, where is God? And what I love is Mount Horeb was a special and a sacred place. And I want to encourage you this afternoon, where is your Mount Horeb? Where can you go where you can encounter God and hear his voice? I love, you know, Tim Hall was saying that he loves to just get out into the wilderness. Maybe your Mount Horeb is a room in your house. Maybe it's the beach, getting out to the ocean. Find your Mount Horeb, and that's the place that when you're just like, God, I'm finding it hard to hear you, Go to that place. Remember, call to me and I will answer you. So maybe you get yourself out of the way, because you're in the way of hearing from God sometimes and you just need to take that time out. What's another reason that can make it hard when you go, I know that God is promising, call to me and I will answer you, but I'm just struggling to hear? And I believe this is one of those yes and amen moments. I believe that it's our ability to translate what God's saying. Because God is always talking to us. He's talking to us so much more than we can even imagine. So he talks to us. We hear his voice. We interpret it. And then that's when we act or we speak out of it. And it's on repeat. So God talks to us. He speaks to us. We hear it. We interpret it. And then we act on it or we speak out of it. God talks to us. I love how it says in 2 Timothy, and it's in chapter 3, that all scripture is God-breathed. That word being inspiros, inspired by God. Inspired meaning to have God breathe, for God to breathe his word, to breathe his truth into us through his word. All scripture is God-breathed. God is inspiring. He's always talking to us. We hear him. I love how Jesus in John chapter 10, he talks about how my sheep hear my voice. That my sheep know my voice. You see, when you're in God, you begin to hear and understand that he's talking to you. It's not just, where's this inspiration coming from? Where's this word coming from? Where's this voice coming from? You begin to understand, yes, this is God. God's talking to me. I hear his voice. And then we need to interpret it. And I put to you that there's probably three ways that we tend to interpret what God's saying. One of those is the word of God. One of those is through experience. And another one is through the community that you're in. Now, this is my challenge to you. If you rely on your experience, what happens when your perceived reality right now does not line up with the word of God? How are you going to hear the voice of God? See, right now, my lungs are filled up. What does the word of God say? By his wounds I am healed. I am made whole. I am made complete. I could stand in my perceived reality right now and go, maybe God doesn't heal because I prayed. I've had people lay hands on me and pray, and how come it didn't leave immediately? Because I'm judging my perceived reality right now on what God's saying. So my challenge is, do not just rely on experience. Now, experience can be a great thing because you can see God move in your life and go, you know what, that confirms the word. I now have greater faith in the next. So experience can be a great thing to help inspire faith, but experience shouldn't be the way that I interpret the voice of God. The next one is community. The people that you hang around with. See, community can be a great thing. You know, coming along to inspire, hearing the awesome words, getting out there in the cafe, you know, hanging out and chatting and encouraging one another can be great, and you can have God speak through somebody into your life. But that shouldn't be the only way that you rely on the Word of God to understand what he's saying. You know, another yes and amen moment, it was in my notes. I was thinking about podcasts, and I mean, it's come up so many times. I love podcasts. I absolutely love the Gospel According to Judah Smith or the Gospel According to Stephen Furtick or, you know, name a great preacher, but that alone is not the way that we hear God. Again, that can be like community, what you surround yourself by. God can speak to you through those, but the other one, how we hear the voice of God is knowing this, the Bible. I love how David says in Psalm 119, verse 103, that your word is like honey. You know what I love about honey? Who loves honey? It's sweet. It tastes good. When you begin to eat this and to devour it, it's sweet. It tastes good. The other thing about honey is it gives you energy. His word energizes us. You know what else is good about honey? Honey has healing properties. Honey soothes. The word of God is designed to be sweet for us. Hearing the voice of God, to give us energy, to heal us, to soothe us. Why wouldn't you want to devour this? You know, this is the word of God. It's God breathed. It's to inspire us. It's to sustain us. And my encouragement is to get deep in this. That's why the other Sunday when I was speaking, I was saying, you know, Pastor Don spoke about it as well. If you haven't got it, get the Bible app on your phone. I mean, we're already, good to see Rose definitely has it on it. I mean, you know what I love? That this thing here, this is, you know, you used to have multiple Bibles at home. Your giant, I was laughing about this the other day, like a giant Strong's concordance. So you could like dive in and like look at Hebrew and Greek and look at, you know, where else in the Bible is these words being used and getting an understanding. I can basically fire this thing up. I've got a whole lot of translations at my fingertips. I can, and here's an absolute trick for you. Google a scripture with the word lexicon afterwards. And then you can go through and, you know, as I was sharing out of Jeremiah 33 verse 3 about what the Hebrew was saying there, that's just literally having a look at a lexicon, opening up these words and beginning to understand the language and what God's doing there. It's so easy, but who knows that at the same time, it's just so easy just to go to Facebook, Instagram, watch a YouTube video, and 40 minutes later, you're deep down in some conspiracy theory. When it's just so accessible, and it's so accessible, but we're turning to podcasts, and we're turning to the latest speaker, and then somebody says something that didn't quite line up with what I thought, so, oh no, I better write something on a forum here and start listening to this person. Just get into the Word. And I want to encourage you, you can only flow out of what you know. So my encouragement is don't just read it, but begin to learn it. You see, when I was seeking God for this session, God was able to pull something out of what I knew. City, my way, Atty Gamt Wydink. Call to me and I'll answer you and tell you great and mighty things which you do not know. As silly as that sounds, I was able to interpret what God was saying because it was hidden deep. And why is God wanting to challenge us on not just knowing it here, but knowing it here, that if we call, He will answer, and that He will tell us great and mighty things which we do not know? It's because our generation needs it. Now, this is the thing. This is the thing that blew my mind when I got home last night, okay? I got home. I didn't even put two and two together until I got home. But who remembers, and I love that Cindy was talking about this just before because it was almost like a refresher, but who remembers what she was saying? She's talking about how God, right, God is bringing about a new move, that it's already begun, that just a generation ago, you know, we had the charismatic movement, and there was a move, and then it stopped, and then God was bringing a new move, where we would be prepared. Do we remember that? Who remembers that? Show me a wave. This blew my mind last night, okay? And I hope it confirms something for you guys. This is crazy. So when I was in my car 2 months ago driving, saying, God, what would be your word for us as a conference? Not only was it call to me and I'll answer you and tell you great and mighty things which you do not know, but I believe that God said to me that the context of where the scripture came from is a word for our generation right now. This is the context. Jeremiah was a prophet, okay? Jeremiah's father was Hilkiah. Now, Hilkiah was the high priest in his day. Now, he was the high priest during a time, and this is great homework to go and look up later. He was high priest during a time where there was this boy king named Josiah. During that time, Hilkiah discovered the law, and there was an absolute revival that took place because they were all caught up in idolatry, and Hilkiah and this king Josiah brought around a revival that took place. Within one generation, the people had just gone back to what they knew before. And I'm starting to do the parallel to, we're talking about the charismatic movement, you know, in the 70s. Within one generation, it seems like we're already back where we were before. And what happened here is you have Jeremiah, who is a prophet for God, and God says to him, call to me and I'll answer you and tell you great and mighty things which you do not know. And then he begins to speak about a restoration. He begins to speak about hope. He begins to speak about, and this is why my mind was blowing when I was at home. I could hardly sleep. He talks about two kingdoms being restored and brought back together. I love it how, you know, Cindy talking about the Māori people, you know, New Zealand coming together as one. And then he begins to prophesy about Jesus. It says, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will fulfill the gracious promise I made to the house of Israel and the house of Judah. These are the two kingdoms. In those days and at a time, I will make a righteous branch sprout from David's line. He will do what is just and right in the land. In those days, Judah will be saved. Jerusalem will live safety. This is the name by which he will be called the Lord, our righteousness. And so Jeremiah is given a vision of restoration, of hope, of Jesus coming to a generation. And I believe that what God wants to challenge each one of us today is that we would stand up and we would go, God, Lord, we call on you. Answer us. Show us great, marvelous, extraordinary, bigger than we can ever fathom, marvelous, wonderful, extraordinary things that were once inaccessible, fortified. We were unable to know or fathom. Show them to us so that we can speak hope into those around us. That's what God's calling us to do. It's not about just coming, having an awesome word for yourself, sitting here feeling blessed and going home. God's doing it with a purpose. It's always been about others. And I love this. In 2 Corinthians in verse 5, it goes on to say, it's talking about being ambassadors and ministers of reconciliation. It says from verse 16, so from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do not so longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. That's us. The old is gone, the new is come. All this is from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That's all of us. It's not pastors or leaders. All of us have been called to bring about the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them, and he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, all as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. I love that. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors as though God were making his appeal through us. God speaks. We hear, we interpret, and then we act and we speak out of that. God speaks. He speaks more than we know. He's inspiring us. He's breathing his truth into us. We hear it in him. Like sheep, we hear the voice of the shepherd. We know his voice. He's speaking to us. Call unto me and I will answer you. We interpret. His word is like honey. We're eating it. We're devouring it. We're able to understand these great and mighty things which we don't know, so that we can act out of it and we can speak out of it. To speak hope, to speak life into a generation about the goodness of Jesus. To reconcile people to God. To understand that just like what the people of Corinth were going through, they either had that Hellenistic view that I have no idea how to make God happy with me, so I'll do anything as far as sacrifice, through to Judaism where I kind of got an idea, but if I, you know, repenting and sacrificing, then maybe God will show favor. Our job is to go there and tell people that God has made a way. Grace, you can just step into this. Speak hope, speak restoration into a generation. Remember, you flow out of what you know. Go deep in this. And the last thing that just popped in my mind, another Easter camp verse. Matthew chapter 28, 19. Most of you guys will know this one. Also known as the Great Commission. And I love this because it says, therefore go and make disciples of all nations. Other translations say go into all the world. The Greek there is ethnos, from the root ethos, which means custom and culture. What I believe God is saying to us is he's calling us to go out and speak into cultures, to speak and redeem customs. You know, God wants to, he doesn't want to just talk in a church within these four walls. That's not his heart. This is a, don't get me wrong, church is an amazing place. I mean, if it wasn't for church, and I mean, church is God's design. I mean, the church is never going to go away. The church is God's design. He loves it. I mean, as it says in Ephesians, just like it's talking about husbands, love your wives, just like Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. The church is not going away. The church is God's design. It's how we can come together. We can build one another up. We can encourage one another. We can spur one another on. But this is not it. God is calling us out to speak his hope and his life into the cultures around us. How can we bring that message of reconciliation and hope into arts? How can we bring that message of hope and reconciliation into entertainment, into business, into education, into the people around you, those little groups of people that are united by culture or custom? That's what God is calling us to do. It can be really easy to read that and just think, yep, the missions trip to insert country here that's far away, and I'm all for missions trips. But what about those cultures around you too? That's crying out. You see, just like Jeremiah was living within a generation that was seeing captivity, and they were like, where is God in this? Where is the word of God in this? They were purposeless. I believe that right now that we are poised. We're ready for the momentum of God to bring a word that will bring purpose to a generation around us who may have walked away from what God is doing. And that's our responsibility. Call to me, and I will answer you and tell you great and mighty things which you do not know. Call to me, and I will answer you and blow your mind. Not just for ourselves, not to feel puffed up, not to go, oh my goodness, God is real and he talks to me. But to be able to minister out of that. Remember, he speaks, we hear, we interpret, and then we act or speak out of. Why don't we stand in this place? I want to pray. And I want to pray for all of us because this is our awesome honor and responsibility as his kids, as co-heirs, as co-laborers. You know, I'm just reminded just why we're standing. Just to the absolute power of words, not only the power of his word to change us, but the power of words to create. You know, the Hebrews had a great handle on the power of words. You know, one of their words for word is devar, which means word, but it also means thing. And they knew, you know, as in Genesis, that God spoke and said, let there be light, and there was light. It was not only a word, but it became a thing. And he said, he formed the earth with his words. It was not only a word, but it became a thing. As it says in Proverbs, that our words can bring life or it can bring death. As it says in James, there's power in the tongue. You know, that word devar is probably the most closely aligned with the word logos, where in John 1, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In fact, I just want to read that for a second. It's powerful. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was God, and with him in the beginning, and through him all things were made, and without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. And I want to encourage you this afternoon, what are you speaking life into? What are you creating with your words? This is the awesome responsibility that we have as his church. And God, I just want to lift up every person, God, and every family, God, and every community represented in this place right now. And God, I want to thank you for the, Lord, just that awesome promise. As you say in your word, your promise is a yes and amen, and you promise that if we call to you, you will answer us, God. I want to thank you for that promise. I want to thank you that you make those things that were inaccessible and fortified be made plain as the light of day, that we can understand it, we can interpret it, and then we can speak it, God. And Lord, I want to thank you in advance that, God, as we leave here, God, I thank you that we've still got more sessions, but as we leave here after this conference, Lord, for those moments and opportunities where we can speak hope and life into the people around us. God, because that's where we will see change. That's where we'll see momentum. God, that's where we start to align ourselves and co-labor with you and bring around, God, a move of God, as you desire, Lord, as you desire, God. Lord, I pray that for each one of us that you would stir up a hunger for your word. Lord, that we would desire it, that we would eat it, that we would devour it, that we would become lovers of it, Lord. That it wouldn't just be good literature, God, but we would literally take it in so that it can flow out of us, Lord, at any moment as you speak. Jesus. Jesus. And just as I'm praying, Lucy, I believe that God would want to say to you that, you know, right now it might be super tough with all the study that's going on and what you're studying at the moment, but I believe that what God wants to do is to use your passion and your hunger for His Word to inspire a generation of people to love His Word. Not to take it at face value, but to dive in and to wrestle with it and to unpick it. And I got a picture of almost like a mountain, like an old gold mine. And you had like a big bucket, and it was filled with pickaxes. And you're encouraging people to come along, and you're handing them a pickaxe. And together, you're just absolutely hammering into that mountain to find gold. And I believe that that God's saying, just get ready. That He's going to bring people across your path, that He's going to open up opportunities to hand out that pickaxe, to hand out what you're beginning to understand and learn about wrestling and diving into His Word to inspire people to do the same. That we wouldn't be just a people that gets inspired by a podcast or waver with how good the sermon was on a Sunday versus another Sunday, but we would dive in and know the Word. Come on. Amen. Come on.